St. Louis today, right? All right, well, you guys get to be privy to some really profound information here. Because I'm going to share something that was shared in the just a little piece of what we were doing in class last night, which from the reaction of the students here, I thought, maybe this is not general knowledge to everybody, and so maybe I should share this. Is anybody, or I can't see the folks very clearly, are there new people, or is this all regulars?
They're regular people. John's also.
Hey, John, what's going on?
How's it going, sir?
Yeah, good to see you, man. How you been?
Great.
Awesome. All right. How many of you, in doing sitting meditation, know how to look for emptiness? I mean, really. When you sit, right, you get yourself, you do your whole thing, you sit on your mat, you get yourself all straightened up, if you're wearing robes, whatever it is. You start doing your breathing and you're meditating, and you have all these thoughts in your mind, maybe there's emotions, whatever's going on. What is it that you are doing that lets you have direct, immediate experience of emptiness? Anyone at all? What are your techniques? What is it that you're doing? Does anyone know how to look for emptiness? No one wants to answer. That's good. Everybody's afraid to say something. Yeah, go ahead.
When I meditate, thoughts come to me, then I mentally put them in a bubble, step down, and then move back to center.
What did she say?
She said when thoughts come to her, I think she said, I mentally put them in a bubble and bring myself back to center.
Okay. That's a good technique. Anyone else?
I can say, sometimes I try to think about what they were, essential nature of like a raven experience, and try to, I don't know, try to somehow wrap that it's empty.
So, you guys are using, and this is for everyone, not just people that answer. Or let me say it this way. How many of you are using language or academia to observe and to classify the emptiness nature of the things that are going on? How many are doing that? So a thought arises and you go, okay, this thought, it's not really real, and you're dialoguing about why it's empty. How many do that? Right? Because you're like, I'm going to discover this is empty by mentally, verbally applying all of this stuff. I'm just going to regurgitate all of my academics on this thought, and that will make it empty. Who gets a direct, immediate experience of emptiness? Like you actually perceive shunyata by doing it. Anyone?
I do it in the form of breath. And I write whatever I had in terms of my thoughts, and then I can focus on silence.
Okay. I mean, silence in itself, that's all right, but you know, as Shakyamuni Buddha teaches, we're not trying to get to a place of total silence or like deadness. We're not trying to get like dead air on the radio. We're trying to allow the gates that are still open, the eyes, the ears, the nose, tongue, body, all of those senses, we're not trying to shut down outer sense data from coming through. But what we're trying to do is see the nature of all of those arisings, that data that comes in, all the sounds and smells and tastes and thoughts and feelings that we have physical feeling, emotions, all of those things to be actually empty of inherent existence. That, I mean, that's how we experience emptiness, shunyata. Shunyata is the lack of an inherent self. If we block everything out, we will never see or experience emptiness. We experience void. And void is not emptiness. Actually, void in itself is also empty of any real nature, because that's a compounded thing also. So to get a direct immediate experience of emptiness, we could analyze as we're sitting all the stuff that's arising, but generally that never really works. Has anybody had that work? I mean, we can do techniques to make ourselves go blank again, but that's not exactly a correct method for investigating. That's a calming technique. So I'm not saying that meditation is wrong, but that's called a calming technique. That's calming meditation. Shizhe. Calming. That's not a chuyul. Chuyul meditation is cutting through apparent existence and recognizing the things that are arising, that they are empty of own nature. Now, what I'm telling you is part A. This is two parts here. Part A is all the things that we are experiencing, we need to cut through and see their inherent shunyata, emptiness. Here's how you do it without dialoguing. And we're going to use mental event for this. Okay? So you're sitting in meditation. Maybe everything's quiet. You're just focused on the breath. Everything's lovely. You're in that calm meditative state, right? Everything's great. Then, all of a sudden, a thought pops into your head. Like you were saying, you know, a thought comes in and it takes you off, and now you got to come back and be recentered, right? So it's that kind of thought that just drags you away from following the breath or whatever it is that you're doing, you know, working with a light, whatever. And it takes you away from, quote-unquote, your meditation. This is a big thought. You see it, it's a huge movie. You may have that knee-jerk reaction of just block it out, shut it out, do whatever, bring yourself back to, you know, pinch yourself. I got to go back to breath. Okay. In a contemplative meditation where you are trying to perceive emptiness, you do not want to take yourself away from that. You do not want to go immediately back to breath. Instead, what you want to do is you want to do a thing called gently following the arisal and cessation of the thought. So you're sitting there, breathing in a nice breath, breathing out a nice breath. All of a sudden, there's the thought. Bang! Oh yeah, it's Sunday. The World Cup is today, right? And the whole explosion of symbols and things go on in the head. So then, what you do is, as soon as you recognize that all of this is going on, you watch. You don't look at the content. You don't study the content of the thought. You just sit and it pops up, and on its own, if you don't look at the content and don't engage in any dialogue with the thought will pacify itself. It just kind of disappears. What I'm going to tell you right now is insanely important, and this is actually in the sutras. If you watch that a thought appears on its own, sustains for a certain amount of time, and disappears on its own, so you didn't generate the thought, you don't generate the dissolution of the thought, you just let it happen, That gives you a direct, immediate experience of impermanence. The thought, the emotion, the sight, the smell, the sound, whatever it is, if you recognize it wasn't, now it is, and now it is not, that's impermanence. So that's what you do. You sit and you just watch the, right now there's nothing. Oh, there is something, now there's nothing. Oh, there is something, now there's nothing. That's actual meditation. That is a meditation. It's contemplative meditation. Because you're just watching the cycle of impermanence. So there's no need to shy away from the stuff that pops up or disappears. You don't have to bring yourself back to the breath or anything like that. You're just going to keep just sitting and watching. It's like commercials. You're watching a great show of nothing, just breath coming in and out, and all of a sudden they go to a commercial break. Hey, you need to do laundry today. And you don't engage it, and then it goes back to its regularly programmed show, right? Of just the breath coming in and out. There's nothing going on. Then all of a sudden there's another commercial. Bang! Holy crap, it's above freezing. I gotta go wash the car, get all the salt off of it. Don't engage in the conversation. It goes back to its normal program. Now, here's the secret. Because these things are impermanent and they don't sustain themselves, that is the actual manifestation of their emptiness. That's how you perceive emptiness, because everything is impermanent. You see, if there was a permanence, that would qualify a self, which means the thoughts would not actually dissolve. There would be something substantially there all the time. But there isn't. When it dissolves, you don't even know where it went. Where did that thought go? And don't try to chase that either. Just let it go. And when you do this, you recognize the empty nature of the outer sense data. Does everyone know what I'm talking about when I say outer sense data? You guys understand that term? Data, you know, like information that's coming from the outside or apparent outside through the various senses. Like when you are listening to my voice, that's an outer information that's coming into you through your ear. And then your consciousness arises because there is this thing. This is part B. Your hearing arises because something has arisen in outer sense data to connect to the ear to cause that consciousness to arise. Meaning, if there's nothing to hear, there's no hearing consciousness. If there's nothing to see, there's no sight consciousness. So if you're sitting in meditation and everything is completely quiet and blank, it means there is no thought consciousness because there's no thoughts arising. When a thought arises, thought consciousness arises. Is anybody starting to catch on here? Because here's the thing. Your individual sense consciousness, like the hearing or the thinking or the tasting or smelling or seeing, all of these different consciousnesses that arise, do what? If all sound ceases, all hearing consciousness ceases. So hearing consciousness is impermanent. Seeing is impermanent. Smelling consciousness, impermanent. Tasting consciousness, impermanent. Touching consciousness, impermanent. Emotion consciousness, impermanent. So if it's impermanent, what is that manifestation telling us? Those consciousnesses are also empty of their own nature. That's you! Your thinking consciousness, when thoughts come into the mind, causes your consciousness, your thought consciousness to arise, to recognize the images or sounds or whatever's going on in the mind. But when there's nothing going on in the mind, there's no thinking consciousness that arises. So it's empty of own nature, which means that thing that's called I, that observer, is also impermanent, meaning he's empty of own nature. Ta-da! Well, I'm surprised you guys aren't like jumping up and down, because this is like a woohoo! Because that's it.
My soul is bouncing.
Your soul is bouncing. Right? So here we talk about the emptiness of self all the time. And this is kind of a really shitty thing to say, but I'm going to say it anyhow. When you have experience of emptiness of self, you sometimes forget that maybe your audience doesn't know what you're talking about because they haven't experienced it. And so for a while now, I've been under this delusion that when I talk about emptiness of self, you guys are all experiencing it in your meditations. But then it occurred to me in class last night when I mentioned this thing, and everybody's looking at me like, what? 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 What do you mean? This is the greatest thing I've ever heard. Then I realized, oh my God, wait a minute. You guys aren't putting these two together. Impermanence is being a manifestation of emptiness. Therefore, you can realize that your consciousness... So, what's happening here? If you realize that all of your individual consciousnesses are impermanent, they arise and they disappear, that's a manifestation of them being empty of self. Here's what happens. When they do arise, and they usually arise in all different stages, right? You have one that's arising, you've got one that's already arisen and is sustaining, you got some dropping off and some others coming in, and so they're all, you got six of them that are doing this, coming in and out all over the place sporadically. The deep secret here is because they are coming in all sporadically, you think that there is a continuous observer. You think that there is a thing that's watching or experiencing all of this, when that's not true. It's not true at all. That is the illusion of the self. That is what makes this delusional image that a you actually exists. That's the illusion. It's a bunch of mirrors being flashed at you in a certain way, and so you perceive that there's something there. When if all of them went quiet, there would be nothing. So there's my little insight into the class that we had last night. Hopefully this will help you in your contemplation, the meditations. This is very important. You can apply it to the breath, you can apply it to thought, you can apply it to feelings, you can apply it to emotions, you can apply it to anything you want. But anytime you have any experience at all, look at the thing that you're experiencing and notice how it's impermanent, which is the equivalent of its emptiness. And then look at yourself as being the one experiencing it. And as soon as the thing disappears, are you still experiencing that? Well, no. Now all you have is memory. But memory's fake. Memory is also impermanent because there's tons of stuff that you guys can't remember. Like, can anybody tell me exactly what you were doing at 2:18 yesterday? I mean exactly, in every detail. Anyone? So what happened to your memory? Because you were there, right? Who was there at 2:18 yesterday? Was anyone at all around at 2:18 yesterday? Or did you just manifest today? Okay, so...
I'll go with the latter.
If you were there, what happened? Where were you? What was going on? In detail. So you go, well, okay, so my memory's faulty. Well, there you go. That's the impermanence of memory. It's also the impermanence of everything you were experiencing at 218, including all of your consciousnesses that were doing the observation. Empty. And actually, if you said you weren't there, you're correct. Because you, sitting right now, were not there at 218 because all those consciousnesses are gone. Every moment's a brand new moment because it's all new incoming data, all new arising consciousnesses. There is no you that's a continuum. Gate, gate, para gate, para samgate, bodhiswa. Gone, gone, way gone, super far gone, completely gone, only the mind and enlightenment. You guys just recited that. I just told you why they recite it. This is what the Heart Sutra is all about. So, for further information, study the dhatus, 18 dhatus. The 18 dhatus will talk about the eye organ, information that the eye organ receives, and we'll talk about the consciousness that arises because of the information coming in.
Which, that's in that orange book, right behind you.
This one?
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. Isn't that Ways of Enlightenment?
Yeah, Ways of Enlightenment has it. I mean, it's treated everywhere.
They have that book.
You guys have Ways of Enlightenment in the library. You can look it up. And the other thing to look up about the collection of the various six consciousnesses that come together to create the illusion of self, study skandhas. Also orange book, Ways of Enlightenment. Everybody know what a skandha is? It's an aggregate. It's a heap. It means if you put a whole bunch of stuff together, it looks like something. For example, here in Minnesota, everyone loves this state. So they run around with t-shirts, bumper stickers, necklaces, everything with a little state of Minnesota on it, with a little heart that says home. But when I see the image of just the state of Minnesota, I don't think to myself, oh, there's the whole United States. I look at it and I go, oh, there's Minnesota. Right? Because for me to think the United States, I got to see a map of all 50 states together. Because it takes 50 of them crammed together that makes the United States. So for your ego to exist, it takes a combination of these consciousnesses to arise to give the appearance of a collective thing. The reality is there is no United States. It's a bunch of little tiny ones that have all collectively gotten together to call themselves that. But as soon as one of them says, ah, the hell with that crap, we're not United States anymore, there isn't a United States. I think that happened like 100-something years ago. There's a whole group of people that were like, screw that, and then they split in half, right? If you guys know your American history. So it ruined the aggregate, or the ego, or the I of the United States. It was destroyed. And so the United States went, oh, look, I don't have a permanent innate self. Because it just fell apart. And they had to kind of put it all back together again to bring that image back. So are you. So I hope this talk was helpful and beneficial. And I hope that it influences your meditation. Remember, this is a contemplative meditation. It's one of the four types of meditation that we have at the Hinayana state, and or one of the three. So, the calming meditation, of course, that's quite fine to do, especially when you have any kind of overactive body or mind or emotionalism or anything like that. We do a calming meditation. But if we want to investigate shunyata for the purpose of attaining nirvana, this is exactly how you do it. All right? You investigate those things. Look at them just like that, and there's nothing to say. There's no dialogue. No academia that you have to put on there. You just sit. And you let them last as long as they're going to last. If you don't entertain them, they'll fall off on their own. They dissolve back into their own ground, as we call it in the higher dharma. So, when it dissolves on its own, you just are aware that it dissolved on its own. And then you just know, without having to say anything, that's the impermanence right there. And that is the manifestation of it being empty of its own nature. Being the one who experienced it, that's also gone. Thus, my impermanence is the manifestation of my emptiness of own nature. Thank you. Well, we've finished our service here. We've already done our dedication and everything, so if